Jones. And Mike. Real radio for real people who are real enough to realize they really still have a few things to figure out. Jones is a hockey-playing, city-living, vegan bachelor who practices transcendental meditation when he's not biking to shows and Cub games.
Mike's a beer-swilling married father of four from suburbia.
His motorcycling, marathoning, and martial arts are pretty much on the shelf while he limos children all over town to their activities for the next decade.
Sound familiar?
It's, you know, shit dudes say.
About family.
Women.
Philosophy.
Politics.
History.
People.
Money.
Pop culture.
Kids.
Fighting.
Business.
Life.
Join the conversation.
312-957-7210.
Hashtag Jones and Mike.
24/7.
Worldwide.
At jonesandmike.com.
This hour, about your drinking.
Judge Jones wonders if you're being childish.
Later, he admits to being a believer, and Mike admits he's very into Katy Perry.
This is Jones and Mike.
Jones and Mike.
I am full of energy right now, Jones.
Does it have anything to do with spinach, blueberries?
Yes.
And almond milk?
I'm embracing the antioxidant revolution.
I've been doing it for years, and you've known about it. I was wondering why it took so long.
Yeah, we got a magic Nutribullet, which kind of doesn't work. I'm hoping maybe it's just mixed-matched parts from Macy's. What happened is I got my old lady, I got her a double for Christmas. I got her something she already had. So she's like, well, just take it back. So I took it back to Macy's, and this fabulous gentleman somewhat helped me buy a magic Nutribullet so that we could start juicing.
But it wasn't so magical?
No. So now we're using, like, the old, like, blender from, like, 1988 here. But so far, so good. Yeah.
I asked your wife. She said she believes that was a wedding gift for the mother-in-law, like, back in 1970.
No.
That's what she said.
No. Well, because she hasn't been juicing for very long.
Okay.
The antioxidant revolution is just beginning within her synapses.
And it was
clearly
really,
that thing is not 50 years old.
I don't know. I didn't study it. It was a white kitchen appliance. That seems like something from a complete other
generation. Why you gotta get racist? Why you gotta get racist?
No, it was white.
Oh, it really is white. Okay.
Yes, it was a white kitchen appliance. You don't really see that anymore. Now, I have to say, though, when you contacted me earlier this week and said, hey, that breakfast shake that you do in the morning.
Yeah.
Which, if people
not referring
to
your love handles either.
Oh, come on now.
You don't have any.
No.
No muffin tops with you. Your BMI in range.
Yes. No. And if people want to know, it's very simple.
Your BMs, though, totally out of range.
Oh,
totally out
of
sorts.
They're off the charts.
Dr. Oz says they should be S-shaped, by the way.
And they're firm as a Nerf football. They're fabulous. So, hey. If you don't want the answer,
could you throw it?
Well, I could, certainly.
Oh, dude, I would almost be willing to be the catcher.
Okay, now this is... Now I'll even admit...
Just because I want to know, can it be thrown and caught?
I think almost anything can be thrown if you can get your hand around
it. Well, that's what I mean. And received, though. I will hazmat suit it up. Maybe we do this at Chet's Injustice, where we do the march remote for UFC 198.
Absolutely. Turd catching.
That's right.
Turd toss.
Not the first time it was done at Chet's, I'm sure.
No, it's probably like that's a once a week affair. No, but if anybody is wondering, after that whole disgusting description, I do this antioxidant shake every morning.
Yeah.
It's just a handful of spinach.
Or
any other green.
A cleansing detoxification elixir, I like to call it.
Yes. A handful of spinach, one cup of water. If you want to go with like a cup of almond milk or something.
But not silk. Silk is like bad.
Well, that's what they say.
They say it's like a carcinogen or something.
So you do by a cup of liquid, whether it's almond milk, whether it's water, handful of spinach, a cup of frozen vegetables, and a banana. That's it. You just blend it.
Yeah,
and you at least get one serving of greens in there. And you guys threw a pear in there, and that worked fine.
That's right.
It was great.
Sweet pear.
So, but I have to say, when you called me this week, or I'm sorry, you texted me and said, hey, what's the...
That's not something you call another man about, honestly.
No.
That's definitely... There are certain communication channels for certain communications.
Yes,
that's
a text. Is perfect.
Totally.
And you were like, hey, what's this antioxidant detox shake that you do in the morning? And I sent you the quote-unquote recipe because it's only like four things. But I was thinking like, oh, my God, did you get – why are you asking? Did you get bad news? Because it would just seem
bad
like
– bad news?
Well, you will talk about this sort of stuff, but it's not like – You've known I've had this shake for like a couple of years, but you talk about it, but I've never really seen you say, oh yeah, I'm going to start doing that too. So all of a sudden you're like, hey, we're going to start doing that shake over at this house.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, why?
Well, and you're not far off base. I've often said that if I ever got like a diagnosis of cancer, that would be the first thing I would do is go like raw foods, juicing diet. And I think that that's what oncologists should be. If they're not, I think that's what they should be telling people to do.
Getting out ahead of the curve.
That's right. Cut out carbs, cut out sugars. And then that's, you're totally right on. I always say to myself, well, why wait until you get cancer, dude? Why don't you start to do that? It's kind of my rationale. I don't like sugar anyway, but like, that's kind of my rationale. Like, I'm glad I don't, and I won't ever start because cancer, you know, is fed by sugar.
Right. And that's something that I'm doing a good job of, but I've always been, I have a sweet tooth. I have to watch my sugar intake.
Right. Your one good tooth is left. It's a sweet one.
I know. The other 31, that same way.
Yeah. George Washington mouth. So, yeah. I think that this juicing thing, I always viewed it like it would be a pain in the butt. And I am just in the early minutes of my juicing career, admittedly.
And?
I got to say, the white appliance is going to be, I was hoping that the Nutribullet would work, and maybe it will. Maybe I'll go back and there will be an equally dainty gentleman like Brian with a Y who helped me in Macy's somewhat, but yet I still have to go back now and get the right thing that will actually work. I'm hoping that will be make it even more effortless to do this. I could see how it would be beneficial. And then this way, I'll also feel like a 40... you know, 1.5 year old
doing the healthy thing.
That's right. Like juicing and those types of things. That just feels like something that a dad should do.
Well, see, and it's interesting that you put it to the dad part of the equation, because I have actually, I've been doing this for years, but over the just recently, and I think maybe it was just with, you know, kicking into the new year, starting to do some different things.
New year, new you.
New year, new me. Yes. I have started kicking this idea around in my head. Should people, men and women, over 40, should we be drinking alcohol? Like, it's one of those things where as you go through kind of the aging process, if I showed up or one of our friends showed up to poker night wearing a man bun or in skinny jeans, none of us would hesitate to go, dude, what are you doing? Or when one of our friends, you still see that they're dipping, you're like, hey man, you know, that you've been doing that for a while. You gotta break that habit. Or you're still smoking, you gotta stop doing that. Or when you see some friends who at all the time, you know, late night, 2 a.m., they're still going to get the burrito. We don't hesitate to say like, dude, what are you doing?
How come you're mentioning all the things that I do?
Well, it's not intentionally, but it is out there.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things, though. But I'm using those examples to say people feel comfortable to say, dude, you're getting a burrito at 2 in the morning.
Really?
You are 44
You bust
years
people
old.
Down for
No,
doing
I'm
that?
Saying people don't hesitate people can get to a point of being comfortable enough with someone else to say, dude, why are you getting, you know, the cheesy fries and the cheese pizza and the potato skins? Like, what are you doing? Like, people
really? Okay, so you do this? You police people's
Actually, the
activities?
funny thing is.
God, I'm glad I don't hang around with you outside of Saturday mornings.
The funny thing is, I don't. But I see people do it all the time. It's not uncommon for me to go out, you know, even if I go out and play hockey with guys, I'll see one guy, I'll pull another guy aside or kind of joke in front of everybody like, hey, buddy, the diet, not working. You know, and they'll kind of like razz one another about this stuff. But the one thing that nobody will break on once they get to their 40s is drinking. And I'm starting to think like, How does drinking alcohol past the age of 40 fit into your life? It should be almost as bizarre as slapping on a pair of skinny jeans or having a man bun.
This hits close to home, I gotta say.
I know, and
I'm trying to take baby steps forward, and now
you're not even there.
You're kicking me
right.
You're
not even in the game.
You're kicking me right in the liver.
You need to be. That poisonous, rotted liver.
That's why I had four kids. One of them will be able to, you know, lop off a chunk and give me a hunk of liver at some point. Should you quit drinking after 40? Grow up already? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, yes.
Next on Jones and Mike. When it comes to finding a holistic doctor near you, where can you turn for help? When you need a cancer doctor who will advocate for a non-surgical, non-chemical course of treatment, where can you find her? When you need a chiropractor or acupuncturist, when you need help with ailments that many doctors and even hospitals just plain turn away, like Lyme disease, who can help you with natural solutions and strategies for diabetes? When you need help to find an integrative, functional, complementary, alternative approach, option, and practitioner, the Health Freedom Network is there. Since 2009, the Health Freedom Network has been a leading resource for natural medicine and health information and research. Now we're also your best resource to give you access to the top docs in a number of specialties, from cancer to stroke, and in modalities from chiropractic to dentistry. The Health Freedom Network's directory at healthfreedomnetwork.com. Better information for better choices. Find your new health practitioner at www.healthfreedomnetwork.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
Jones and Mike, this guy has never grown up. I gather what you're saying is that people who drink after 40 should grow up, Jones. Andrew W.K. would tell you to back off.
I don't know. Do you know he drinks?
I bet he doesn't. I bet he's into fitness.
I bet
that he had depression years ago, or still does, and battles it by just being Johnny Optimist, and he wouldn't take a depressive like alcohol.
Yes.
But
by the gallon.
I think he would probably recommend don't hang around with judgy jerk stores.
No, it's not. See, this is interesting. People can openly talk about someone else's weight or what they're eating.
Yeah, I mean, these people that you know that do that, I don't understand that.
No, but at the same time, like, we had a mutual friend of ours who you would razz about having sausages for snacks late at night. Like, what are you doing? You're having a sausage. It's midnight.
Can you give me some more contextual frame of reference there?
What do you mean?
Who is it? I don't want you to say his name. I want you to give me a clue. A guy that would sit around and eat sausages at night. Because that contextual reference will help me go like, oh, well, we were playing cards.
No, you weren't playing cards. He was just a dude. You guys used to work on things together all the time.
Oh, yeah. Okay, all right.
But you, dude, yes. when we played poker.
He was the Midnight Sausage King of Chicago.
Yes, and when we play poker, you don't question Matt's dietary habits.
Mm-hmm.
You know you do.
Yeah,
you
no,
know
no,
you
no,
do, and you
no.
speak
but
in
that's
specifics.
You're just busting chops when you're playing cards. It's different.
I know, but how is that any stranger than a guy in a locker room giving someone else a hard time about their diet?
Okay, contextual frame of reference there. In a locker room, I think that goes.
But okay.
Like, if you're, like, out at a restaurant and somebody orders, like, a, you know, double baked potato or one of those baked potatoes that's, like, a full boat one, I wouldn't be like, whoa, what are you doing there, fatty?
Well, no, but you would do it with the Sausage King of Chicago right when he cooked up the sausage in his own home.
Yeah, at midnight.
Yes.
I'd be like, what's going on?
So
okay, fine.
And what
fine.
I'm saying is, it's not about being judgy. My point is, we feel comfortable addressing certain things in other people.
Uh-huh.
But there's something, particularly I think for men, it's not. My thought as I've been playing with this is the only people who can really quit drinking are alcoholics.
Okay.
Because there's so much.
Explain this.
There is so much drinking that is just programmed into our lives. Like, you can, if you just thought, you know, I'm just going to reboot here. I'm not going to drink for a while. You got the holidays. Then after the holidays, you have the Super Bowl. And then for me personally, after the Super Bowl, I have every year I go on this outdoor hockey trip, which is just a disaster of fried foods and beer. Then a little while after that,
and you
well,
do plan your dietary calendar around it. You'll be like, well, I'm not starting that one. you know, kettlebell boot camp until after that trip. There's no use.
Yeah, well, now, I, now I'm not
trying
to do that.
Just makes you sound pathetic.
No, I'm not doing that. Oh, come on. You know I'm more committed to that stuff.
Okay, so, well, no. Fine. Childless, you have all the time in the world to just work on you. No, let me ask you then. What you're saying.
20, 30 minutes a day, Mike.
Okay, fine. What you're saying is that societally, is that a word? In our society, you have got to have a drink in your hand at Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, Super Bowl, or else you'll feel strange.
Cubs games.
I think that's weird to hear.
You get invited to, you not strange, but it's just an automatic. So you can look up in an instant. If someone invites you to a Hawks game, you got to meet them before you go to the Hawks game. At the bar, you're going to have 2-3 beers. Then you're going to go to the Hawks game. Then you're going to have 2-3 beers. Afterwards, you may even go to another bar and have one more beer after that. And it's one of those things where it's like all of a sudden you went to watch a hockey game and then you consumed 4 to 7, oftentimes more, alcoholic beverages that serve no purpose for you. They're meaningless calories. It makes you sluggish in the, especially after 40. They're meaningless calories. It lowers your ability to build testosterone. You put on weight.
Yeah,
it makes you sluggish in the morning.
I'm pointing the finger at you. Why do you have to drink beer to that degree?
No, I'm saying
you. Now, admittedly, college, you, our freshman year, my only year there with you, we would get to a party. This was the ritual. We would get to a party. You would fill up your cup. You would hold it and drink half of it. But over the span of 2 hours, it would be like pee warm.
And I would end up
probably drinking the other half of it for you. You would even be like, oh, I'm just here. Drink the rest of this. So I'm going to go get another one. Like, you've always felt this sort of pressure. And I'd be like, well, why don't you just not drink? Who cares?
Okay, when I come
and
to...
And that was when you were 18, so I could see there being certain peer pressures. But now that you're 42...
Okay, when I'm using, this isn't solely about me. I'm telling everybody. Yeah. I'm saying to everybody, like, you, if you're drinking, like, what purpose does consuming alcohol really serve? It doesn't serve a beneficial purpose beyond the age of 40. And I kind of think it's interesting.
Beneficial? Wait a second. It never serves a beneficial purpose from like a nutritional standpoint.
But particularly after 40, like when you're in your 20s, you're going out all the time. I get it. But when you're after your 40s,
yeah,
I look at it and I'm saying, okay, what purpose does this really serve? Like, wouldn't that be one of the first things that you just start to look at and go, all right, well, that one's got to go out the door. I mean, it's meaningless calories. Well, it's not good for your body. It causes me to be sluggish in the morning.
No, and that is my one vice that I do love. I love me some Coors.
And I'm just saying, like, I'm
daily,
just...
Daily, every day, and I have a Coors.
Right. I know that.
Couple.
Yes, you have a couple.
And now, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I'm not
that,
saying
but,
wrong.
But I do know people that like will come home and have a brandy every night after work. And then some Coors or whatever. And I always go like, why the brandy? That seems like overkill to me. So I guess it's like gradations, right?
You think
I'm outlandish, and I look at people like a pay grade above me, and I go like, why the snifter of B&B?
To me,
every night to take the edge off. Well, like it's 1961.
Well, it doesn't matter to me what the beverage is.
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't look at it and go, well, a thing of brandy before you drink beer. That's weird. Or then all this beer.
Well, I know, right. So I'm kind of agreeing with you. I'm kind of like, you're a psycho. I'm a kind of a psycho too.
So that's, but I kind of wonder, like, it is so hard to stay. Like, even if I come over here to watch, like, the UFC, like, you'll go downstairs, you'll grab 2 beers, you'll bring them up in, like, one for you, like, oh, no, I'm good. No, come on.
No.
Then you'll go back down again and bring up another one. And it's not just you. I'm not saying,
and recently, you said no. And I went, oh, you're not drinking anymore. And you were kind of like, nah, I'm just cutting back on that. And I went, all right.
Yeah.
And then I never offered you another one again. And that was the end of it.
And what I'm saying, well, then, and that was like day one of that. But what I'm saying,
and then later
is,
on, when I was trashed, then I let you have it. And I just don't remember that.
I don't even remember that. Because I was so hammered on water, I guess. And my point isn't to talk about, like, just between you and I.
Is this an intervention?
You.
Did my wife put you up to this?
No, you're beyond help. You're beyond help. I've given up on helping you years ago. No, that, this is beyond that.
Uh-huh.
What I'm talking about is it's funny to me that, and funny in a peculiar way, that alcohol isn't something that naturally spirals out of your life as you get older. It actually almost, you know, people will, more people in this country will stop exercising. And they may even still try to continue to eat healthy, like I'm cutting back on the carbs or whatever they think healthy is, which isn't always cutting back on carbs. But they'll do that healthy diet thing, but, you know, mm-hmm. don't get to the gym. But they're not going to give up. They're not going to give up this, like, gallons of depressant that they take in every week that doesn't serve a purpose, that doesn't help you get to the next level of really kind of anything, whether it's mental acuity, physical acuity.
Yeah. No. And I would just argue then it never serves a purpose then.
Right. And it, you could make that argument for a 19-year-old, what purpose does it serve? But I think
it helps
when
me
you get
fit in.
Well, but when you get to 40, there are just things.
My name's Brian Jones. I want to fit in at this party.
No, and I know that's not it. And I knew you were going to, I know you're fighting this alcohol thing like a dog.
I know. Now I'm cast in the weird place of having to defend it.
I know, but I'm not. You're the one that's going, well, you're talking about, this hits close to home. You're talking to me.
I know. I'm joking about everybody. Yeah. All of you disgusting, slovenly pig dogs who can't put down your alcohol. You know who you are.
I'm just saying, like, I think it's a question worth asking, but it's. If I ask the question about, you know, why would you continue to smoke or why would you not exercise? Yeah. People at a party would be like, yeah, you know, I'm trying to be better about that. Work out 3 times a week, or I gave up smoking 5 years ago. Now, if I introduce this idea at a party, like, it doesn't make sense. Why do people even drink after 40? Like, you know, beyond a beer or two, why would anybody drink more than 2 beers after the age of 40?
Yes.
I would get serious hate at a cocktail party.
No. And you know what?
Particularly at a cocktail party.
I agree with you. I don't understand getting drunk after 40 publicly. In my own house, I don't care what you think, but out in public to see someone who's sloshed, that kind of bums me out when I see that. In my own house, yeah, I may over imbibe, it's fine.
But I'm even talking about, like, the idea of not even over imbibing in the home.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you just go, yeah, no, this doesn't make sense. I'm going to wake up in the morning. I feel like crap. It's needless calories. I'm trying to run in the morning to lose weight. And then I'm doing this thing at night. And I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about everybody.
Oh, no. And we've gone over ad nauseum that the running's the worst thing you can do.
Yes.
It gives you license to ill the rest of the day and the week. You literally will cite the misery out on the trails. I punched my card then for this moment, for this chocolate cake I'm about to eat, or this case of Coors I'm about to drink. So, yeah, I hear what you're saying, bro.
Yes.
Now, we're in agreement.
Okay.
So what's my limit? Two? Can I have two? But before I feel the big... Now, I like beer. I just like to drink beer, bro.
It's not like I'm
trying to get drunk like a 22-year-old would, or I'm trying to fit in.
Do you really, though?
I love it.
You really love the flavor of Coors.
Wait a sec. Oh, yeah.
Like love it.
Yes.
That's your choice flavor.
Well, no. I mean, if money was no object, I probably would upgrade, of course.
But really, though... But even beyond that, it's just interesting that... A choice flavor for the palate.
Yeah.
Beer.
If I have to put out
beyond one or two.
If I have to put out my fruit medley smoothie with spinach, that's glass number one.
Okay.
Glass number two is a water.
Okay.
And glass number three is Coors. Like, those are the only things that I drink.
Okay. But you or anybody else, do you really need to drink more than two?
Other people would be like, oh, I love me some Pepsi. I don't drink Coke or Pepsi. I don't drink pop. I don't pop pills. I don't do anything else. I don't eat candy. I don't do anything.
All I
do is drink Coors.
But do you need to drink
Now I just got to have water, I guess.
Yes, but do you or anyone else need to drink more than, say, two?
Within a 5-hour span.
Just in an evening. You come home.
Yeah.
You come home from work, you crack open a beer.
Time of three.
Talk to
I
the
like
kids,
to have
and then
three.
You eat dinner, you have
I like
more.
To have three. So can we just expand it to three?
No.
No.
No. There are no. I set rules.
So I'm one over. I got it. If I downgrade to two, then I'm within your.
Well, and
round.
Here's the thing, and I'm not. I don't. I want to avoid like this. I want to avoid like I'm just addressing you.
When did you turn into such a prude?
It's not. See, why is that even a challenge to be a prude? It just makes sense not to take in these meaningless
so
calories that make
to,
you feel like crap in
so
the morning.
So every day I just got to
like
have water. Water. That's it for me. Water.
That's like the crazy one thing that if I just race. Last night I had two beers.
So can I have
so it's
Ambien?
It's not like I don't drink alcohol.
Can I have Ambien like you if I just
I don't
have water?
I haven't had Ambien in years, unfortunately.
No, I thought that you have your junky one day a
that's
year like hall pass.
It's like, yeah, see, it's like, do we dude, even talk to each other?
You wreck your kidneys like
oh, I
times
have,
100 compared no, to a Coors.
Oh, give me a break.
A Coors
I had
compared
one
to
hydrocodone. I had one hydrocodone pill in like 4 years. You have
no,
11
BS,
Coors
BS.
A night.
You're servicing men under the Clark Street
no,
Bridge.
No, you now see now you're gonna you're like a caged animal. You're gonna yeah. do anything to defend those banquets.
You're down on State Street,
no,
that great street inside that weirdo's igloo. You're like, come on, man. Yeah, did you see the guy who built the igloo a few weeks ago?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, he built it like right on the median.
That's awesome.
I don't even know what street down there.
Well, you and said he, State Street. So
well, I no, I'm just making it up. But somewhere down there, he built like a big old square igloo out of chunks of ice. And he wasn't even like, it's not even that he was homeless. Apparently, he has a home. And he was fed up that the people around him weren't shoveling. So as a protest, he took all of the, he shoveled it all up into chunks of ice and then built an igloo out of it. I know.
I guess if you have that kind of time.
Yeah, when you're not drinking Coors, when you're not drinking your three constitutionals every night, you've got a lot of time on your hands.
Well, you don't,
I don't want to become a psycho like him.
Well, you don't have to be. You know, there are other choices.
Yeah.
The only thing that's a statement right there that the only thing preventing you from becoming a psycho is three Coors.
Is having three Coors a night.
Yes.
I was reading about the 70th birthday party for Lemmy Kilmister. The dearly departed singer bassist from Motorhead. So he was like this whole string of dead people in the celebrity world. He was like at the forefront of it.
Right.
Starting off the new year or right around New Year's. He died at 70. In early December, I believe, they had like a star-studded rock star like 70th birthday party for him. Apparently Matt Sorum, the drummer from Guns N' Roses, filled in for like the ailing Motorhead drummer on a tour once and then became friends with those dudes. So he was like the master of, you know, ceremonies who brought in all these rock stars. Sebastian Bach from Skid Row, like Lars Ulrich, the drummer from Metallica, like all these dudes from all these bands. And they played on stage at the Whiskey on Sunset Strip. Lemmy has had a place down there for decades, was always planted on the end of the bar at the Rainbow Bar and Grill or the Rainbow Room, whatever it was called. So it sounds, Stevie Vai was there. They all played like Motorhead tunes or whatever. And apparently he was like on death's door already. And his friends were really bummed out because he had taken steps to save himself. Apparently, he had pared down his two packs of cigarettes a day to one pack a week.
Wow.
Yeah. And this is what really caught my eye in the Rolling Stone article I read. He had taken up having four or five vodka and orange juices a day, which was a marked departure from his 40-plus years of drinking a half gallon of Jack Daniels a day.
Good God.
A half gallon. My old lady, when I told her that, she was like, oh my God, I couldn't even drink a half gallon of water when I was doing that one diet thing. And I was like, well, that's pathetic. But half gallon of Jack Daniels every day for more than 40 years.
I think it's more pathetic that Lemmy could drink a half a gallon of whiskey versus your wife not being able to drink a half a gallon of water. In the more pathetic comparison?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's how much water gets boring. Man cannot live on water alone.
Actually,
I have a pot of coffee every morning, admittedly a whole pot, and then I drink just water the whole day, and then three quarters at night. And I'm going to outlive Lemmy Kilmister. I guarantee it. Outlive him. And you're going to have to eulogize me. You're going to have to eulogize me.
I'm going to start thinking, I'm going to start planning now.
And now, you know, people this week were outraged. So I kind of was decrying like these dead rock stars putting a lot of mileage on their tires and then dying. And the people being like, he was so young. And this week, Glenn Frey dying at 67. And people are like, just 67. It's like, yeah, 67 for the life he led. A ton. He got a lot of time. Jones and Mike.
Another Pacific Rim Omega customer speaks.
My name is Tony G. I was very impressed by taking the product and the purity of the pharmaceutical grade of the omega-3 fish oil. I really felt very, very good by taking the product. As far as my mood, I noticed the collagen in my face and some of the lines that have disappeared, my nails, my hair. I highly recommend this product, Pacific Rim. I really, really enjoy the product, and I look forward to purchasing more products in the future.
Find out what Tony and thousands of other people know. Pacific Rim Omegas are the best thing you can do for your health. And get 59% off your order right now when you take advantage of this special exclusive offer. Go to radio.mydailyomega.com right now and save 59% off your order of Pacific Rim Omegas. Or call 877-324-4227. That's radio.mydailyomega.com. radio.mydailyomega.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
Jones and Mike. With Glenn Frey dying this week, people were debating, are the Eagles the greatest American rock band ever? Which we have debated ourselves for decades. And I was really kind of enjoying the back and forth, the discourse publicly, thanks to Facebook, and like here and there in articles and things like that, of people kind of making their case. First of all, I don't even think the Eagles should be considered rock.
I mean, they're right. I guess soft rock.
Yeah, that's like Seals and Crofts rock.
I guess rock is in the title.
Look, I love me some Hall & Oates, but not rock.
Right.
So, no, they should be excluded from the conversation. I mean, like, Take It Easy is one of their songs. Not rock.
I agree.
And so people were throwing out some bands like Allman Brothers, and I was like, yeah, dude, Allman Brothers, they're never in this conversation. I'm surprised I didn't see anybody vote for Grateful Dead in this back and forth.
Yeah, but it seems like the Grateful Dead fans, they're not really a competitive lot. I don't think they would really care whether they were number one or number 11 in the argument.
Right.
I've also seen music articles where they've talked about the Ramones being the number one band.
The number one American rock band. Hmm.
Yeah.
Your vote, I didn't see anybody bring up the band that you always bring up, which I think is a really solid one. You always like to offer Aerosmith, which is brilliant, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one I would put out there. I mean, I think if you're going to go that route, you have to have someone who's had hits, someone who's had some longevity, and I think they have to have a general appeal, like a broad-based appeal. I don't think you could pick a Nirvana or a Smashing Pumpkins. Their tastes were to one particular era. I don't think, you know, I don't want to say the songs won't stand the test of time, but they're not going to go from generation to generation, I don't think. And America's not really a band kind of rock country anyway. We're more about the solo artist. So that's why I would think Aerosmith.
Well, it's not like they've never been called America's greatest rock and roll band, but I didn't see a whole lot of their mention. I didn't see any of their mentions in this. But I mean, really, from like 72 or whatever till the early 80s, you know, That's Barry Bonds Hall of Fame material, early part of his career.
They even had a number of hits that people, when we were in our first years of college in the early 90s, that people our age were playing all the time.
Well, and that's where I think they get disqualified. I think that their hit-making, hit-parade, hit-radio is what disqualifies them from this conversation in other people's minds. Not in mine, but I think from Pump on, people go like, oh, they were sellouts. They weren't really about the rock. They were about making hits.
Yeah, but if that's the criteria, I don't know that many American bands were like purely artist-style bands. If that's the case, then you could probably try to pull in some bands from the 90s, if that's the case.
Yeah, and I would offer Guns N' Roses as being the greatest American rock, even though it's just the one album that I would consider to be amazing. But that one album, I think is pretty good. It's pretty damn good.
And the album that you're speaking about is
Appetite for Destruction. Okay, sure. In 1988. And then the double album was kind of like, maybe there's a half album of decent songs on that double album. So really it's like 20 songs, that 20 songs, admittedly for a country that should have been producing better rock bands all this time. Pretty damn solid.
Yes.
Now, you're not an American music fan really at all, because you're more into UK stuff, and really, the rumor on the streets is that you're more into Canadians lately.
Well, that is, for this week, that is true. Now, I just like, my tastes are just, if it's good music, it's good music. Now, when I go through, like when you go through your closet and you try to figure out like, okay, well, what's my favorite color? And then you see like everything's either green or orange. Like when you kind of just look, when you look at kind of a broader perspective of yourself, if you go through my iTunes account and you go through all the rock bands, more of them are going to be UK based bands.
Brit pop.
A UK, Irish, whatever, that region. Yes, that is true, but it's not like necessarily like, oh, a new American rock band, I'm not going to like them. It just happens to the bands that catch my attention. I'm like, oh, they're from Wales.
Yeah,
oh, they're from Scotland. Oh,
yeah.
They're from London. They're from Dublin, whatever. Mm-hmm. It just works that way.
Right.
Now, this week, I have been just taken over by a Canadian chart topper it surprised me. But this is and one song in particular, it's not even the artist, but one song in particular has been dominating my brain. So at work, we've put in a new phone system, a new computer system.
Ooh, upgrades.
Like all this. Yeah,
yeah.
It's crazy.
We got a Keurig.
Right. Well, we're getting one next week.
Oh, man. I can sniff it. I can smell the Keurig on you.
So
how don't you guys juice?
Are you kidding? The people I work with are too young to worry about that stuff.
You guys would have that stuff in your teeth the rest of the day. It would be kind of awkward.
That's why I have floss at my desk. But anyway.
Got to keep that one tooth going.
Right? That's all I've got. So we have, we got Spotify.
Uh-huh.
So everybody's going through and picking their channels. It's kind of become this crazy distraction.
And all you're doing is you're listening to curated playlists on Spotify?
I guess. Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Okay. And can you make your own playlist in Spotify?
You can, but that's part of the problem, because everybody's like, I don't like that song. I don't like, and then it's become this distracting toy. But eventually we'll get so used to it, you'll forget about it.
Uh-huh.
But one of the girls this week picked out a song, and it hit my brain.
Oh, no.
And it, soon to be 42 years of age, it wouldn't be a song that you would think that it should just grab a hold of you and not let go.
Yeah.
But she put on Justin Bieber, the acoustic version of Boyfriend.
Oh,
and I
God.
Cannot this
I
it.
You on my arm, girl. You never be alone.
And I can be a gentleman.
Anything you want. If I was your boyfriend,
God.
Never let you go.
I can't stop.
Well, tell me what you like it.
Tell me what you don't. Okay, I gotta stop. I can't. Like, I'm not even doing a bit right now. Like,
you can't help yourself.
I can't. I cannot stop playing this song on repeat.
You're a believer. You're a mother-grabbing believer.
I know,
it's just
I don't,
this song?
It's,
My old lady goes nuts when he comes on, and it kind of bothers me.
I'll say this. There was the other song, What Do You Mean? It was the dance song.
Yeah, and What Do You Mean?
I was like, yeah, that's kind of catchy, but it's nothing I would go out and buy.
She does the whole TikTok thing in there.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm like, yeah, this guy has no range. It's real flat, and she's like, you're just jealous. I'm like, well, I don't know. Do you want to bang him? What do you mean, am I jealous? Although, and it's like, and I've seen his penis. I actually clicked through to see it.
And?
When offered. I'm a believer. Let's just put it that way.
It's funny.
I think he could take my wife, yeah.
I think he could, because I've actually seen his penis too with other girls at work who are looking at it. And they're all like, huh? Not bad. Really? Not bad.
You guys are all going to get canned. You guys are all going to get canned looking at NSFW material.
We weren't looking at his penis on a work computer. We were looking at his penis on someone else's device.
Private device. Yeah. It's her wallpaper.
So, but I cannot get this song out of my head. And I've been playing it endlessly. And I know it's one of those things where, like, if I had it on in my car, it's one of the, you have those songs where it comes on the radio or whatever, it's playing, you crank it up. Then when you come down at the light, then you just kind of hit the volume down a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if I would do that on this song because it's not instantly recognizable that it's Bieber because it's acoustic. So I could just be like, oh, no, it's Crosby, Stills, and Nash Jr. It's fine. And I could kind of play it off. But so here's where I knew I was listening to this song at bizarre levels.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I knew it because I was like, oh, my God, I got to play it again. I got it. And it was like a 3-minute song. And I still haven't I got to see if I can buy it on iTunes just so I can hit it on repeat and go about my day. I would keep going back to like the little YouTube thing and replay. So I have 3 minutes. So I'm making dinner, and then all of a sudden I could tell, like when the song's ending, that I have to quickly wind up what I was doing, run back and hit replay again, and go. Like I could not stop listening. Here's how bad it got. So I was getting ready. To hop in the shower or whatever, set everything up. Hit play on that song and put it in an area where I could reach out of the shower and hit replay.
Oh, my God.
Which I do that with other songs sometimes if a song really grabs me, but it's never been acoustic Justin Bieber that has grabbed me this way. So I'm in the shower and the song starts winding down. And I don't know what it was about this particular moment in time that it just grabbed me, but I was like, I kind of panicked a little bit. And I went like stretching out of the shower, but like really quick to like hit the song. And as I went to hit replay, all of a sudden it was like an anaconda just like snapped around my legs. I went forward, and then all of a sudden this like weight just came crashing down on my back. As I went forward, I like was tipping forward. I have that little toilet brush with the little fluid inside of it next to my toilet. I hit that, knocked it over. It went everywhere. I'm trying to grab that. I have all this like crap on top of me. I'm naked and like just laid out in the middle of this bathroom, like half in the tub. I had lunged out so far. The shower curtain had wrapped around me. I pulled the bar down on me. And now I was like cocooned up in this thing. I have all my toilet like cleansing fluid all over the bathtub. Our bathtub all over the bathroom. And it was,
and that's when I noticed that I was aroused.
No, it was, I had.
By Bieber.
It was like so, I was so ensconced in crap. Like all of a sudden, if there was a fire, I had to get to my feet and run out. Like I couldn't move my feet. Like I was that wound up with stuff. What was the first thing I did? Did I go and grab the toilet brush thing and turn it over? No. Did I grab like the shower curtain, pull it off of me? No. Did I push over the shower rod that was pressing down on me because it was still wrapped up in the curtain? No. I reached up and hit replay on Justin Bieber Boyfriend acoustic. Then, and now I'm like, son of a bitch. Like I was like cursing. Yeah. I was like cursing like a man, everything. Like I had become a man again, but it wasn't. I hit the first item of the day, hit replay on Bieber Boyfriend.
Right.
Now I could be an angry man ripping down the curtain rod.
That's right. But Bieber gets you through, man.
That had to be the first thing. Like, that's when I was like, oh, my God. What has happened to me? And I still, before I came here this morning, I played that song 3 or 4 times in a row.
Really?
I cannot. I would love to do a study on people's like brain waves when they receive music, what causes them to like music long term, what causes mm-hmm. them to like listening to music and just in an album form, mm-hmm. and what is it about a song? Is it tones? Is it something that, because in a week or two I dig this song, I will always dig this song, but in a week or two I won't be playing it on repeat. I might not even be playing it at all.
It's the 550 hertz or whatever.
Whatever
they've
it
got
is.
Got it at 550 hertz, and all the rest of the music that you hear is at 440.
Whatever it is, it's grabbed
so
a hold
that,
of me.
Yeah, and that's on a cellular level, it's attracting you.
It's causing this crazy repeat that I can't stop. And it's.
But you don't
like,
want to stop it either.
No,
you're
I
addicted,
don't.
But it's nothing that really, it is weird that almost 42-year-old man is a believer. But you're not ashamed,
well,
so you
no,
don't want to
even,
stop. You don't have to stop.
No, it's, and it's weird. I mean, he, like, really, he could be, he's of the age where it's not impossible he'd be my son. So it's strange. I get it. But at the same point,
oh, well,
it's
yes,
not
it's
like
impossible
I'm,
that he could be your son. Let's be honest.
Well, what I'm saying
biologically,
is, what I'm saying is,
did you
just
ever
in
like
terms
donate?
Of age sense, no.
Okay.
You know what I'm trying to say.
Oh.
You know what I'm trying to say. But so I get that it's weird. But at the same point, and it's not, and I have to say, like, I'm not a believer. You could play other songs and be like, no, I don't care. Just turn it off. But mm-hmm. there's something about this song that is, and I would love to know what is going off in my brain mm-hmm. that is causing me to, like, I got to hear it again. I've got to rip down my curtain rod, almost break my legs falling out of a bathtub.
God, if you would have hurt
still,
yourself, that would have been great.
And I probably still would have hit replay first.
You were like a junkie as long as I got my believer.
It was crazy.
My old lady gives me a hard time because I'm a big fan of Katy Perry, which, and it's not even her jugs, it's really just her music. So whenever Katy Perry's on, she's just like, you love Katy Perry, don't you? Like, yes, I do. I once danced off with another man in a crowded Christmas party to this song. And I think I won.
So,
is this more normal that I love Katy Perry, even if I don't know her name?
No, I don't think it's any more normal, because if you simply love to do it, dude, she's hot. Like, most guys would be able to look at that and go, yeah, she's an attractive girl. Got it.
Yeah.
But
I almost don't even notice her jugs at all.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. I get it. There's something about, but what is it? Why can you reject 90...
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. This isn't a competition.
And I always think, and it's funny because I do think this song came on at work. And just this week I was telling someone, like, this is really a weird song. Like, this grown adult, like, I'm having teenage dreams. And
that's
like,
right.
Like, what is this?
That's right.
But what is it? What is it about the, and look, we're not going to come up with the answer. The whole point of this topic is the question. What is it that gets set off inside our brain that makes us addicted to a particular song?
Yeah, like this.
You did, yeah.
I loved
it. I remember,
I always remember
when I hear Hanson, I go, strange, but Mike loved these guys.
I did, dude. Dude, so talented. Now,
and
I think they're all like bald and like overweight.
No,
and stuff.
They're not actually.
Really?
They're not. I saw a picture of them like a year or two ago, and the chicks I were working with, like, yeah, they're all pretty good looking. Like,
really?
Yeah. No,
even the tall one, the tall awkward.
No, there's the one still kind of awkward, but he's kind of all right. But like the other two are like chicks. Are like, no, those are two good looking guys. Never mind that they're in Hanson. If they were in a bar, we'd be like, yeah, cute guys.
Huh. Well, good for them.
Yeah.
And I think they're Canadian too, right?
I think they're from Oklahoma.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
That's much better.
I don't know.
I don't want Canada to be just constantly, you know, being our only source of entertainment, dude. But this is solid right here, dude. And this is, what, 1996 or something? I dug them.
Yeah,
at a point
like
in my
that.
Life
96,
when I shouldn't
97.
Have. And I didn't care who knew. I didn't care.
No,
who
you
knew.
Didn't care. You didn't care. But it's just, yeah, I would just, what is that? That part of our brain. Because here's the thing. 95% of the other songs that people would attach to the ilk of a Hanson or a Katy Perry,
uh-huh.
you'd be like, shut that off. Dude, shut it off. Turn it down. But then there's that thing that goes off with this that you'd want to keep it going. Like, even specific to the art of Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
What do you mean? It kind of, I don't know, it's the beat or whatever it is. It kind of passes. I'm like, oh, okay, it's catchy. But it's nothing I'd put on iTunes. It's nothing I'd play really again and again at my place.
Yeah.
But there's something. And then if you played any other Justin Bieber stuff, I wouldn't mind when it went away.
Right. After Hanson, I loved these guys. And you went to the House of Blues with my sister-in-law
oh,
and me.
That's right!
O-Town.
And you try... Now, here's the thing, though. This is very critical. What was it? Now, I wasn't into these guys at all. I went simply, you had a ticket.
Yeah.
Like, and your sister-in-law was going.
Not even my wife. She was just like, you guys are lame. So I took... As my dates, Jones and my sister-in-law.
Here's what I think happened, because I don't think you've been totally honest about this situation. Uh-huh. You've loved these guys. You loved them at the time.
Yeah.
I didn't even really know who they were. Now, you had an opportunity. You knew the sister-in-law wanted to go see it, so you bought her a ticket.
Yeah.
I think you bought your wife a ticket.
Oh, that's what happened.
Assuming her with the hopes that she would go. And when she refused, you were in this weird space of, well, now I... Because I was really kind of called like day of or day before.
Uh-huh.
I went and we went to this show. It was crazy. You like even brought a sign.
We made the
up.
Sign at
you
your apartment.
You made the sign. You and your sister-in-law.
Me
I
and her.
That day.
Me and her.
It was weird.
It was like, and we were actually calling out Ashley Angel from the band. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I will never forget because they had a song called Liquid Dreams.
That's right.
And you, as a 20-something male, went to this boy band and held up a sign that said, Ashley, you give me liquid dreams. And then I mockingly bought an O-Town hat. And here's where
did.
It gets
you
interesting.
You spent probably like $30 on that.
I did it as a joke. I never listened to their music. I was never into them. But going forward, you would always be like, and Jones, the O-Town, Jones into O-Town. Because you had that male embarrassment. You didn't. Is this Liquid Dreams?
It is.
Okay. You had that male embarrassment. You didn't want people to know that you liked O-Town, so you tried to pin it on.
No way.
Yes,
no,
you did.
I just was trying to bust your chops.
No, you did.
No, I admit things. It doesn't matter.
You didn't admit to O-Town, but there's something about maybe Katy Perry, whatever, that you'd be willing to admit. I'm saying there are things where, like, this is kind of catchy, but I wouldn't, like, this is kind of catchy pop song. I wouldn't have brought this up last night when I went out to play hockey with my buddies. Like, dude, you guys remember O-Town Liquid Dreams? Not a bad song.
Yeah, really?
I wouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have braved that.
You've been out to get me ever since I found your Another Bad Creation CD hidden in your underwear drawer and paraded it around the dorm at Marquette. You were mortified. I do believe you then laid plans, you hatched plans to destroy me. I've traced it all back
to that
moment. And you were like, I'm going to get you. And it was like an older brother, little brother scenario where I was holding it out away from you and announcing to everyone that I found your Another Bad Creation CD. And you were like trying to get it away from me. And I believe probably at one point we played Monkey in the Middle where people started gathering around, chanting and mocking you. And then we all passed it between us.
Well, that does it for this week's show.
Why I was in your underwear drawer? Don't ask. Don't ask.
In fact, maybe the embarrassment of being discovered as a closeted Another Bad Creation fan, I was so put out by that, like being put out there in front of everyone, that I have myself in 25 years almost never asked that question. How did you find it in my underwear drawer?
You walked in, I was rifling through your underwear drawer, and I was so grateful where at the very last second, I spotted something, and it happened to be a CD. And then that bailed me out. That gave me the cover story I was looking for. No, actually, you left it open, and I just happened to notice it. I just happened to notice it, and I went, what is that? What is that thing I see? And I was rewarded. The universe rewarded me for having sharp eyes. That was back... thousands of cores ago, when I still had sharp vision.
This is actually, in a very strange way, been a very open, and honest, and revealing Jones and Mike.
Finally.
Whether we were talking about alcohol consumption, Another Bad Creation, Justin Bieber, acoustic
boyfriend. Yeah,
we've really gone through the trenches today.
You've admitted to seeing Beliebers.
I have. with other women, which totally makes it heterosexual, by the way.
I do admit I was alone. I was just like, not safe for work? I'm not at work. You can't tell me what to do, Mashable.
I wanna
I'm clicking
see this,
through.
I want to see this man's penis.
Wow. This is why my old lady's obsessed with him.
Could
that
be.
That and the 550 hertz, bro. The way the pop industry hooks you.
We have to get to the bottom of this. It may take decades. But before I breathe my last breath, I'm going to figure out what they put in that toxic soup that sucks me in.
That's disgusting.